It's been a while.
It's been a cheeky minute.
How have you been?
I've been all right.
It's been a crazy few months. Crazy few months, but we're here. Yeah. We're in there now.
Yeah.
It's better to focus on the present than the past, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, how are you?
Can't lie, uni's hitting me quite hard, but I'm getting back up.
I get it.
So yeah. Oh yeah,
you just started.
I just started. Oh.
How's your first experience going so far? It's not going too horrid. It's crazy. I'm still getting used to it, but yeah, it's all right. Not too shabby.
It'll get better. It'll get better.
But yeah.
Okay. Hey. So welcome to the 2020 Vision Podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
I know it took a very long time since our last video or episode, so it's for those who are listening, but as we said, uni is, it takes a toll on our lives, but we are happy by God's grace that we found the time to do this episode. So
yeah,
let's get into it. So what we're going to be talking about today,
so today we are posing the question of suffering. And you know, if I have a lot of suffering, am I cursed?
Like, it's a very valid question.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
In this generation, in this nation, there's a lot of things happening right now.
Yeah.
And there's so many different types of suffering that people go through.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I understand the question because it's what everyone suffers through in a daily basis. So what do you think?
Oh, do you know what it is? Okay, generally, I feel like this is a very spiritual matter.
Fair enough.
This is a very spiritual matter. Therefore, meaning there are many explanations for it. There are many possible outcomes for it. Because on one hand, it can be a thing where you're going through suffering, and I think we're going to speak about it a bit more in the episode, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're cursed. And there's like a specific reason why. And I don't want to give off too much because we can probably discuss it later. But then it is also possible that our suffering comes from the curses that we have. Again, this is very spiritual stuff.
Well,
we're used to this kind of stuff, by the way. But it's like generational curse. And we'll speak about it a bit more in depth. But we have to remind ourselves that we're descended from Adam. And therefore, we carry that sin with us from the time that we're born. And, you know, because we have this sin, we are therefore like we can be punished for it. But obviously, free salvation, free repentance, it's possible that that's not the case. So yeah, I think it's very two-sided, but it's also a very heavy conversation.
I mean, of course it's going to be heavy. Like you said, we are descendants of Adam. So I remember the other time that I was doing Bible study on the book of Genesis chapter 4, and we saw two different areas. So the first area is Adam and Eve with Cain and Abel, and then obviously Cain killed Abel and then continued with the sin of their parents. But then in towards the end, there was a verse that said that God blessed them with another child called Seth. And then through Seth, that was all the blessings of God up until Noah. And then it all showed that how God have shown favor within Adam and Eve as well. So it's like what we're going to talk about, like despite that you're going through suffering, there will be a positive outcome at the end as well. So let's start with this first question. Are there different types of suffering?
Yes, I think so. Again, it depends as to how we decide to trust. That's just so much. I think we should do a part one and a part two.
Okay.
So let's be part one, because I feel like there's so much to talk
about.
There
is so much to talk about.
So yes, there are different types of suffering. Now, if it's okay for me to explain, I believe that there are, I kind of basically said it before. So there's the kind of suffering that you get with for example, job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say job. There's that kind of suffering that's, I'm not going to say put on by God. Like,
no.
God doesn't do it, but God sometimes allows for you to go through that suffering, if that makes sense. Like, let's not, I don't want to twist
God's
ideas and plans and words. So in order to either strengthen your faith or to test your faith, and in Job's circumstance, it was a bit of both, in order to strengthen his faith and to test his faith.
Yeah.
Because obviously God was like, oh, by the way, Job, yeah, he's so faithful, da-da-da-da. And then Satan was like, oh, yeah, let's see about that. So obviously that was testing his faith, but then also at the same time, it was to strengthen his faith as well. I mean, him being in the circumstance and continuing to have faith in God played a major part in the strengthening his faith. And then I feel like there's another kind of suffering that you go through in order to create your faith. See, I was going to use an example, but I feel like that's more for, like, to strengthen your faith. I mean, no, let me correct myself. There's another kind of suffering that's there in order to show the power of God.
Ooh,
that's
a nice wording.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And a good example of that is the children of Israel.
Oh, yes.
That's what I wanted to use. So the children of Israel were in captivity of the Egyptians for God knows how long, like 300-400 years. So this was not only like one life's worth of suffering. This was generations upon generations upon generations of suffering, right?
Yeah.
And all of, not even all of a sudden, God already knew like all of this was happening, but it was just that they needed to get to a certain point where it was just unbearable.
Mm.
It was unbearable to a point to where God had to send someone, enter Moses.
Yeah, but that's that was a bit of a techie one, because Moses actually experienced both sides as well as a person. So like the fact that he was someone that he was born of his people, but he was raised as an Egyptian and then he brought back to his people, it was kind of like he felt like he was playing a game with his life kind of thing. And I feel like that's what many people go through as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Moses.
But I feel like he was used more as an instrument of God in that sense, if that makes sense.
But it's just the fact that he had to kill a man to get to that.
Well, sometimes
Sometimes it's weird, like, so you're put in the situations where it can awaken you, mm-hmm. and then you have to go through, like, for example, he walked through the desert for how many days,
mm-hmm.
Met a whole new nation, then he had to redevelop himself, build himself up, character building, stuff like that. And then he's been called to bring his people back to the promised land. It's like, I just got out of there and you want me to go back?
Do you know where it is? I'll tell you something that someone told me, and they'll probably know when they listen or watch this. They probably will know. I remember when I was going through a really, really tough time that's just passed by, Divine knows about it. Mm. I remember a conversation a few months ago, that person, which I will not name, they told me, sometimes you have to be in your lowest point to understand who God is. You know, sometimes you have to be at the point where it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want anything at all. And then that's when you realize that you can't do anything by yourself. And then that's when you cry out to God. And I felt like that was Moses's turn point in his life, or at least one of them. I don't know. But it's like at that point when he left Egypt, and he realized, I don't know what I can do with my life. I've left the life that I knew.
Mm.
Did he know by then that he was part of Israel?
No.
Did he know by then?
He knew when, it's the fact that when Miriam went up to him.
Yeah.
He was like, you're one of us.
Yeah.
That's okay. When he didn't believe it.
Okay.
Until he had the dream.
Yeah.
And then when he had the dream about what they're doing to the Hebrew boys, he realized that could have been him.
Yeah.
And then that's when he started to discover things that things were hidden from him.
Hold on a minute. I got something. That was his time in the wilderness.
See?
That was his time.
There you go. And then now he started to rethink, it's just the life that I was meant to be living.
Exactly.
And then basically he's been going through suffering since birth,
mm-hmm.
because you're basically not only you're, it's not necessarily suffering that have to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen to the people that is close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hebrews, they're basically his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're seeing them getting tortured, beaten up, hurt, doing workload, this and that. You're taking in that suffering as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finally realized, that's when he was like, oh no, I can't stay here. I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, I can't lie, that type of feeling is a bit tricky, because he felt guilty to the fact that he couldn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
but all he felt he had to do was run away.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, for him, at that moment of his time, that's where he felt like he couldn't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why, even though at first he was like, I'm not very sure, you know, when he was around the bush that was on fire, he was like, I don't know, like, you know? But I guess that's more of a human reaction. That's the Bible reminding us that Moses was a human, you know?
Yeah, it's a natural reaction.
It's a natural reaction. Yeah. I would be a bit spooked out too. But yeah, so when God started to use him, when he was like, okay, cool, this is my thing, this is what God wants me to do, it was, number one, that was his personal opportunity to show, for God to show himself to him, to show the power of God.
Yeah.
And then he relayed that back to the children of Israel by getting them out of Egypt. And not only that, that turnstone, that milestone of showing the power of God was the splitting of the Red Sea.
Mm.
So that's why I'm trying to say, even though you kind of have to like analyze and all that kind of stuff, that kind of suffering needed to happen in order to show the power of God.
Mm.
Because if they just took a boat and went through the Red Sea, it would have been, yay, they got out of Egypt, but it wouldn't have shown the extent of how
powerful God is, and exactly. how he can bring you from one situation to another situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
See what I mean?
Like, it kind of relates to Job as well, because when he went through that suffering, God gave him twice as more than he had originally.
Exactly.
So it actually shows, like, having faith, even through in the situation. That's what the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray within every circumstance, because you never know what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that outcome, that blessing that God has for you, it will be released. Mm-hmm. Like the same way that Job, like imagine you had one house, you had, let's say, already six figures, you had one car, and then at the end of that suffering, you got 10 houses, lots of cars, you're basically rich.
I'm not gonna complain.
I won't complain, but at the same time, like, we're human as well. Like, if we were in job situation,
I don't know,
right now, I don't think none of us would hack it. I can't, like,
no.
That level of faith is
crazy.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, no matter what, I will trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of his crazy faith, he was able to get more than what he received. I feel like that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, that's crazy, because in that situation, I honestly can't. That is wow.
You know, it's easier to read about something and believe it.
Mm.
But when it actually happens to you,
That's when you're
like, well, that's how it is. That's just how it is.
That's so, basically what Joe felt was like.
Yeah. You know, that I feel like that can apply to anyone, really.
Yeah, it can. It can apply to anyone, but it also depends on, like, your surroundings as well,
mm-hmm.
the type of people surrounding. Like, for example, Ruth, she lost her husband, and her mother-in-law lost her sons and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So Naomi, she basically lost everything, because she's like, I lost my family, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But then Ruth, because of Ruth's faith, she took on Naomi,
mm-hmm.
encouraged her, try to go through like the situation. Like Ruth, I don't know if Ruth knew that God will provide her a new husband,
mm-hmm.
but because of her faith and because of the kindness that she's shown towards to Naomi, it was like God was like, I need to provide something for her to reward her
mm-hmm.
something because of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like to lose someone, I know how it feels to lose someone close to you, but then it's not a matter of like replacing that person. It's just a matter of like, I don't know how to say it, but it's like a feeling that God knew that you will get back up, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get back to a place where, not where you were before, but even higher
mm-hmm.
than where you were before.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good example. I was going to also say that I feel like you said, this is very, very dimensional. So those are like the happier, I mean, or not happier, but the more positive thoughts about suffering. The other one, I'm going to speak about, and it'll go on to one of our other questions later. And it's something that is kind of like, okay, I know I have to go through this,
mm-hmm.
but I wish I didn't.
Mm.
And one of them is that as Christians, as children of God, a certain amount of suffering will have to happen. Now, I'm speaking in a very specific kind of suffering. I don't know, like, how you would categorize it, but I'm talking about persecution.
No.
Because you can take persecution as a form of suffering, because it sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Constant persecution. But the Bible does talk about, blessed is he who is persecuted because of my name, you know?
Yeah.
And we have to remind ourselves, as children of God, one of our aims is to follow the path of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in his footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be so real for a hot minute. It was a nice walk. It's not a great walk.
It's not an easy walk.
It's not an easy walk. Like, no. We can't go through the Gospels and look at Jesus's life and say that everything for Jesus was sunshine and rainbows.
Nah.
The sunshine and rainbows part is when he gets to show his divine power.
Yeah.
When he does the healings. When he, you know, gives fish to 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he speaks on X, Y, Z. All of the great parables that he talks about. But when you look at what he went through, how he was perceived by the world, it's not great.
It's not great.
It's not great. And we also, and as Christians, we kind of have to understand that, like, a little bit of that is going to happen to us.
No,
like, I don't want to, this is very controversial.
It's just, the thing is, it's like, especially in our generation, we're going through like so many different types of suffering.
Mm.
It could be like financial, it could be mm-hmm. within family, it can be within a personal thing. So it's just like, we take suffering as a character development.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously at that time we won't think it is,
mm-hmm.
but when you got out of that situation, you start to analyze what you just went through, and you're mm-hmm. like, wow, like, you never thought you'd be in this position without going through that situation.
That's true.
And it sucks, yes, but it's needed, because how are you meant to grow in Christ if you're going to stay in one position?
Exactly.
Like, no one in the Bible stayed in one position. They had to move to an area, had to move from a situation to bring themselves up with mm-hmm. Christ. So it's like, I don't know, it's like, like the Bible says, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have faith to do something and not put yourself out there. Like, for example, as a business student, I have faith that I'm going to own a business, a company one day.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we receive it. Amen. But in order for me to get in that situation, yes, I pray for God to guide me, help me to get to that level of situation. But I can't just sit in my room and be like, yeah, God's going to do it for me. It's mm-hmm. a two-way street. It's the same way in a relationship. It's a two-way street. So in order for me, I need to find out, like, some plans, like, how can I make, like, a small business and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, and then through faith, and then through your trust in God, then it will start to develop.
That's when it flowers.
Exactly. So it's a two-way street. It's mm-hmm. So I see a suffering as a character development.
Because
mm-hmm.
necessary.
It's necessary in life in order to grow. Mm-hmm. You can't stay in one position. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
it's impossible to stay in that position.
I agree. I just want to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that every form of suffering comes from a good, like how can I say it? Do you think that every time someone suffers, is it always with good intentions? Or do you think that suffering can be the result of something that had bad intentions? Do you think that's possible? If that makes sense.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... Yeah, I see what you mean. You can either go through suffering or receive suffering at the end of the result.
Mm.
So it depends on the situation and it's very possible. However, God is greater.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we are more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're able to conquer every situation that we go through, then it's calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's hard. That question's hard, I can't lie.
Do you know where it is? Because I was thinking about the story of Samson. I was thinking of the story of Samson, right?
Okay.
Because he brought, let's be so real, he brought the suffering that he went through because of his actions, right? Nobody told him to be with Delilah. No one. No one.
No, because... No oh, yeah, one. Because back in then, times, you can't mix the cultures and all that.
They're way more strict than it is now.
But you know what? It's like, Samson, I don't blame him. He saw a beautiful girl. He went for it.
I know.
Delilah...
She's the one that had the bad intentions.
She had the bad intentions. Samson thought, oh, she's a beautiful girl. And
why not?
And he's like, he talked to God. He's like, God, I'm going to marry this girl. And then maybe he did not hear a message from God, so he just went for it through his own will.
Mm.
But then he just saw a beautiful girl, was like, yeah, I want to marry her. But Delilah should have made it clear from the beginning. But obviously...
She was never going to make it clear from the beginning.
Of course not.
Because if she's trying to... Remember, she always had the malicious intent. So why on earth would she want to go and tell, oh, by the way,
no, but
I'm
like,
going to get with you, but hey, I might cut your hair off.
But do you know what? Like, some people feel like... them. It's just like when you marry a certain person, you feel like they'll change over time. But then, for example, like in Delilah's situation, she had people talking to her, whispering in her ear, don't forget about this.
Yeah.
Don't forget to do this. Don't forget da da da. Because I feel like if she didn't have those people around her, she could have changed.
Okay.
Like her attention could, you know, be, her heart might be more softer.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, be careful with the type of people you're surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people you're surrounding, you never know, they could bring... It can be, like, small by small bits of suffering until it can just burst.
Yeah.
So, I believe Delilah could have changed. But because of the situation and because of the conflict between the two nations as well, yeah, it came to that... conclusion, but
yeah, no, I agree.
He lost all that hair for no reason, but it's okay.
Could have been avoided.
It could have been avoided.
But hey, teach them, innit?
But wait, but that's another thing, because Samson thought that God gave power to his hair, so that's where he got his strength.
Mm-hmm.
But then even when Delilah cut his hair, he still had that same level of strength because of his faith. Of what he had in God.
Mm.
So it's...
Okay.
That's like... It's another thing. Like, even if God give you... I don't know what example. Say like God gives you something to do. Let's say singing, for example. You don't need a microphone to sing.
That's true.
You can just sing. But some people feel like the power comes from the microphone because of the volume. But then if you, even though if you take away the microphone, you can still project your volume just by singing just like that.
Oh, that's good.
Do you get it? It just came to my head.
That's good.
So
that's
like,
good.
That's what I'm trying to see. Like, God can give you a gift, but it doesn't have to go through your object. It can just build just based on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's what happened to Samson at that, in that situation.
Fair enough. Good point. Good point. Good point. making me change my perspective on him, because it's kind of like I always kind of blamed him
for like marrying Delilah.
It's like I blamed him for that, but I was like, okay, but it's not completely your fault.
Yeah, that's
because you didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know.
But then again,
you know.
Okay, good point. Good point. I'll give that one to you.
But yes, it just depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. What other stuff can we cover with this?
Let's say, okay, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
So God doesn't give us what we can't handle. Is that true?
Hold on. I remember I put, man, while preparing this, I put a verse. What was it? 1 Corinthians
10:13.
Let me just get that up real quick. Yeah. Real quick.
Because I kind of like that one.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
Yeah.
No temptation has overtaken you except as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may bear it. See, here's the thing. This is when you need to use your eyes. Mm. And of course, this is my opinion. So if you think I'm wrong, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
It says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted.
Mm.
Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That is not the same as God can't give us what we can't handle. You know?
Mm.
Because say, for example, let's just give the basic example of when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. There's a lot of stuff that's like, I like in my head when I'm reading, I'm like, if I was Jesus, would I have given the same response as him?
That's the thing.
Really and truly, would I have given the same response? But not only did Jesus know, but God know. God knew as well that this is light work, respectfully. This is light work. Of course, like, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, the Bible says this. So God already knew. Because remember, God knows everything. God knows everything. And he knew that Satan was going to try and come and tempt him.
Yeah.
But he knew that it was never going to be a problem anyways. Because not only was it that Jesus, he was able to just easily handle it, but Jesus had basically just come off a massive strike. He had been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. So he was basically, he was at his max.
Yeah.
Not that he has a max, but he was basically at his peak. So of course he was going to be able to handle it. The questions, again, they're very, if you're the son of God, jump off a cliff and get some angels to rescue you. That's a crazy, crazy thing to say.
Like, even if that happened like, right now and you think you're going to survive a jump from a building, you're not Superman.
I'm not saying anything because I don't want it to come across anything. But it's like, that's a bit iffy, you know? So I felt like in that context, it was fine because God already knew that Jesus was going to be able to handle that. And I feel like it goes back to what I was saying about Job and about Moses in the sense that I feel like sometimes God will give you more than what you can handle because it, like I said, it has to break you down to the point where you realize you can't do this by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't do this with the aid. Oh, divine can help me, but it's not enough.
Mm.
I can't do it by myself. And then that's when you go out to God.
Yeah.
Because it's like, God will give me more than what I can handle because he can handle more than me.
Exactly.
You get it. You get it. So I think that's a possible answer. But obviously that's my opinion. What do you think?
I feel like because like each time we're in a season of things, so I'm now 20, so I'm in a season of adulthood and budgeting and all that heavy lifting stuff. So I feel like when you're in a season, God gives you what is necessary for that season. However, us ourselves, we'll feel like it's impossible for us to go through that season. Like, there'll be many situations that you feel like you can't do it. You feel like you can't do things on your own. But it's like you said, we need to be able to broken down and to go to God, and God can help us to get through that season.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, I recently found out, it's just like, I don't think it's a case where God gives us more than we can handle. I think it's a case where we think we can't handle what God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know why, it's like when you just hear something that is too much, mm-hmm. or you feel like your brain is overflowing, that's when we start to panic and we start to feel like, I can't do this, I can't do that. But God won't give you that level of responsibility if you knew that you can't handle it. Do you get what I mean? So okay. Like, it's just a case where, like, I don't know, it's like maybe it's the mindset or maybe how you think stuff. But mm-hmm. if you keep saying in your head, like, I can do it, I'm able to do it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say you can do it and through God by my side, I am able to overcome it, then mm-hmm. yeah, you're able to go through that season. I think it just depends on how your mind works, because what you declare, what you speak, what you think, that is what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be aware of what you're thinking, what you say, like, because now I got up this morning and I was like, yeah, by the end of the day, I'm going to complete my assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already 50% done. So glory to God. And I know I'll be able to finish it in mm-hmm. time for my deadline. So it's just a way of positive thinking, positive declarations mm-hmm. that can get you through that season.
Power and then, of the tongue.
Exactly, the power of the tongue. So you'll be able to handle what God gives you.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of both then.
Yeah, it depends. It's a bit of both. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, me, myself, I know there will be times that I doubt myself. But then I know that God wouldn't put me in this situation mm-hmm. for no reason. Uh-huh. There's a reason to be in this situation. Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And that's why it leads me to my favorite Bible verse.
Does that know me? Romans 8:28.
So I'm going to read it out.
Go on.
And I'm going to read the Amplified version, because I don't know why the Amplified version, with the, when it has the brackets, it kind of explains the verse more clearly.
Okay.
So what it says here is, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us,
mm-hmm.
calls all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about the Amplified version is said with great confidence
mm-hmm.
that we know God already.
Mm-hmm.
We know that God is going to bring us out of that situation anyways. Mm-hmm. And then it knows that even though through our faith, God cares about all of his children. He cares about everyone. And because he cares about everyone, he has a plan for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 29:11, for the plans I have for good is for good and not for evil.
Exactly.
So because God has that plan and because we love God, we're going to be able to get out of that situation through his promise.
Do you know what? There's two really good examples of that in the Bible. Number one is the story of Bartimaeus. The story of Bartimaeus. He was blind, right? Bartimaeus was blind. People were walking down.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. was like, Jesus, took please come and save me.
Took me a while to recollect. Yeah, Bartimaeus, yeah.
And then, so from that angle, I'm saying that even though everyone was like, mate, just zip your mouth. Jesus walking by, there's loads of people walking by. He's not going to hear you.
Mm.
But Bartimaeus was screaming on the top of his voice, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. And because of that, like, of course you're able to do it, but sometimes you just have to activate your faith, you know? And I felt like in that instance, that was his pivotal moment of activating his faith. And that's what made God stop. Well, Jesus, that's what made God stop, turn around and go back. It's like, who was that? You know?
Who's that calling my name?
And then because of that, sorry for interrupting, but because of that, that's what God was like, I can see your faith was strong, and I'll heal you.
Yeah.
And that's the exact same thing that happened to the woman who was bleeding, the one that had the condition of bleeding.
Oh, for 12 years.
Yeah. The one that was like, if I can just touch the robe.
Do you know what? Her faith is actually amazing.
Just one string.
Just that thinking. Like, imagine, like, she didn't have to, like, to talk to Jesus. In her mind, she was like, I don't have to talk to him. I don't need to explain my situation. Mm. I don't need to do anything. Just one touch.
One touch.
And she had faith that she was healed.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. Because even when Jesus was like, who touched me?
Mm.
And then Peter Simon was like, what do you mean? Like, everyone's around you. Like, everyone is touching you. What do you mean?
Mm.
But Jesus knew that someone had that crazy faith that if just one touch can give healing, that's actually amazing.
And I feel like that really explains the first part of this verse. Like, I really actually really like this version, you know, with the great confidence.
You should get great confidence.
Not just common, ordinary confidence, but great confidence. Because that's a lot.
Yeah.
It just shows that, yeah, both of them, among many other stories that are in the Bible, but both of these two people had so much confidence that they knew that even the method that they was doing, even though it didn't make sense to anyone else, they knew that it was going to make sense.
Mm.
And God knew that they knew that. And God also knew that it was going to work, which is why God, who is deeply concerned about us, who knows about it, he understands, he sees, he knows what we're going through. Mm-hmm. He understands the suffering. But sometimes it's just activating your faith. God is there. Like he said, knock and the door shall open. Mm-hmm. Seek and you will find, you know. But you have to actually do stuff. Like, let's actually use that example. You will find, you can find something, but you have to seek for it first.
Exactly.
The door will open. God will open the door, but you have to knock on it first.
Mm-hmm.
Like Divine said a little bit before, it's a two-way system. God is happy and ready to work in your life, but you have to make the first step.
Exactly.
You know? And to bring this back to suffering, to answer the question of, you know, do we need to go through suffering? Other types of sufferings? Can God give us more than we can handle? You can say yes and you can say no. But at the end all of all things, God did not bring us into this place. God did not allow us to live in order to live a life of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said in Jeremiah 29:11. God wants us to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to transport yourself from that place of suffering to another place of happiness, you just need to step out of your faith. Sometimes you just need to activate it. Sometimes you just need to implement the works in your faith in order to activate it. I feel like it's a bit of a formula in that sense. And I was just thinking they're really good examples of how to do that. And it doesn't mean, you know, I have to make like a massive gesture, but it just has to be sincere from the heart. I like to use the example of the woman because it's like she knew in her heart just one little tap was going to change her whole life.
That's what it says in the book of Matthew. Faith is just a small mustard seed. Small mustard seed. That is the level of your faith. But then when you grow it and it starts to build, when it starts to root up, that's how your faith is going to grow.
Moving mountains.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's great. I mean, it's not great. Suffering comes and goes.
Yes.
But it's just a matter of how you
deal with the situation.
Do you deal with it? Will you allow yourself to be consumed with that suffering? Will you allow yourself to make an identity with that suffering?
Because
that's something that you can do and you shouldn't do that.
Mm-mm.
Or will you use it as a time to kind of forget about everything else? Minimize yourself and ask God to increase in your life. That's something that you can do. Whether you need to cry out to God to do that, if that just having that, planting that mustard seed, you know, actually putting it in the ground and saying, God, I know I'm in a horrendous situation right now, but this small mustard seed of faith that I have, I'm putting it into you, because it's only you who can do it. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
It's only God who can move the mountain for you. You can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Your friend can't do it. Yourself, you can't do it. You can't do it. Only God. It's just you connecting yourself to God. You know what I mean? So,
thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And, you know, all updates will be through our Instagram.